Well, thank you, worship team, for just taking us places in worship that we've become used to, but we never take it for granted. We love the freedom we have to just enter into His presence and draw near to Him. And there's a couple of lyrics from a couple of songs I'm gonna just go right with this message today that I had never heard either song before, and I'm just always amazed how Holy Spirit just puts things together. And I didn't know if they'd go back to the one verse, and I asked Ashley, said, "Hey, snap, take a picture of that." But they never got back to it. But I got the lyrics. I had Mike grab a lyric sheet because it's relevant. But this message is a little bit of a different one for me. I taught last week on the journey beyond salvation, and I thought when I knew I was up here 2 weeks in a row, which hasn't happened for a long time, that I would just continue that this week and go into a few other territories with it. But boy, I was praying this week, as I was praying about some very specific situations, Holy Spirit spoke these words to me, and I was like, I'm not even sure what that has to do with what I'm praying about, but you'll show me because it was so loud and clear. I was praying about just some very some people that are in some very hard situations, very difficult challenges, and part of my prayer was, Lord, how do people come out of hard situations? How do they, you know? And I know He's God, and He's good, and I know people come out of hard situations all the time. But you know, that was my prayer. Was like, how will they come back in the fold? One was a situation of a pastor who has fallen, has had some struggles, and ended up finding himself in jail. And I don't know this man. It was actually somebody was asking me to pray for him, and he was filling me in on the details he was just concerned about his friend. This pastor is a friend of his, and I don't know him. Never met him, but it was just a heart-wrenching story. And then I was thinking about just a broken marriage, just a broken marriage that I'm aware of. And I was like, oh Lord, how do they come back? How do they come back from this? And then I was thinking about just not even some necessarily terrible things, but sometimes bad decisions. Sometimes we make bad decisions sometimes. And because of bad decisions, there are consequences of bad decisions. And the consequences sometimes just build upon one another. And you think, how can I come back from bad decision after bad decision after bad decision? And I just heard very clearly, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. And it was like, that's your message this week. And I was like, what's the message? what's the message? And I went to these passages, this is the last book of the Bible. The very last book of the Bible, and Jesus is saying these words, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. And he's basically quoting God from the first chapter of Revelation, where God says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And it was a reminder to me of the absolute, absolute assurance that we serve a God who is absolutely sure of himself. There is no doubt in who our God is. He is not even an ounce of doubt about who he is. That's the God we get to serve. That's the God we get to bow down to. That's the God we get to live for. And Jesus is declaring this. And as I was thinking about these hopeless situations, seemingly hopeless situations, there's hope because of the Alpha and the Omega. There's hope because he's the first and the last. There's hope because he's the beginning and the end. And if we find ourselves somewhere in that equation, and we hopefully do, I don't know everybody in this room today, but if we find ourselves in between the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, then there's a hope. Amen. There's an assurance. And there's a message for us to share that with that person that is desperate. Here's something that I wrote about this message. This message is for the person who thinks they are utterly inadequate to be faithful to the God who saved them. This message is for the person who has fallen repeatedly way short of the instructions we read about in the scriptures. This message is for the person who sins and repents, sins and repents, sins and repents, sins and repents, and thinks, how can I ever get out of this cycle? How can I ever break out of it? This is for the person who just can't seem to find the freedom in Jesus that he knows the scriptures offer and sees in others around him, but often wonders over and over again, what is wrong with me? And then we sang, who thought I'd find you at the lowest place? Who knew you'd make good of my mistakes? What kind of God looks for the lost? The Alpha and the Omega does. The first and the last does. The beginning and the end does. I had no idea to get to be a mess right from the start here, but. And then we sang, before I even knew you went before me, you went before me for my war. For my war. When God says something, says the same thing three different times, Alpha, Omega, beginning, end, first, last, the same thing three times. It's important. It's important. So let's just look at some of these places where we see this in Revelation. Revelation 1:8 is where God says that I'm the Alpha, Omega, says the Lord God who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:17-18, when I saw, and this is John having this vision, this is John writing this book, and he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. This is Jesus now speaking. I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades. There is an assurance in there that if we're in that equation between the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that he has a plan for us. If we've said yes to his plan, if we have repented of our sins and said yes to Jesus, even if we make a mistake, this is not a license to fall. This is not a make be sure of this. There's not a license for us to just go do whatever we want to do. But at the same time, when we fall short, we're still living in sinful bodies. There's still an answer. There's still an answer. I was reading just this morning. I had these in my notes, but didn't end up putting them up on the screen. But Genesis 1:1 starts out, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isaiah 46:10 says this, I've made known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do what I please. So if he's called you, if you have said yes to Jesus, his purpose will stand. Now it's helpful if we cooperate. It's beneficial if we cooperate. But even when we don't, look at King David. We know when David was first called into service, the Spirit of the Lord was on him. We knew that. The Lord called him. I don't have any of the scriptures about David up here, but he's an example of someone who was called of God. You look through his whole account of killing Goliath and being called to replace Saul, anointed him. Saul anointed him, Samuel anointed him to become king. And he won victory after victory after victory after victory. And then there was this period of time when he wasn't where he was supposed to be. When men go off to war, David stayed home, the scripture says. He was supposed to have gone off to war, but he stayed home. And when he stayed home, he was tempted. Basically took another man's wife, then had her husband killed in battle. And seemingly his life should have been over. The price for penalty of adultery was death. But God had a plan. The beginning from the end had a plan. The Alpha and the Omega had a plan. And not only did he have a plan, but the woman with whom he had adultery ends up becoming the father of Solomon, who is part of the lineage of the birth of Jesus. Go figure. The message of grace gets built into the whole story. Again, not an excuse to become an adulterer. Not an excuse for us to just live however we want. My purpose will stand. I'll do what I please. Isaiah 44:6. This is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there's no other. Isaiah 43:10-11. Before me, no God was formed, nor there will be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me, there's no other Savior. Just me. Just me. And I read these verses, and I read these verses in preparing for this. I thought, oh my goodness. Again, the reminder that we serve a God who has no doubt about himself. No doubt about himself. No doubt about his authority. No doubt about who he is. And because of that, when this is the God we serve, we can walk in that same confidence. We can walk in that same assurance. And then I came across this. Do you not know? Isaiah 40, starting with verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught, reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? This is our God. To whom will you compare me? The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. Who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens who created all of these. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. I was thinking about this the other night. Men had a camp out up on Steve Wellman's hill, and I woke up Saturday morning early for men's prayer group because we still had it on the hill at 6:30, and I looked out and the stars were just everywhere. They were everywhere. The first and the last did that. It was a masterpiece of his creation. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. That's what I did Saturday morning. Who created all these? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. If you're in this room and you're thinking, my cause has been disregarded, it has not. It has not. Right after I created my little graphic for my message title this week, I had finished it, and it was on my phone, and I went to my Facebook page, and I saw this post from Jeannie Johnson. It was a little poster that she'd seen somewhere and shared it, and it says this: if you think you've blown God's plan for your life, rest in this, my dear friend. You are not that powerful. And then as this message was coming together, as I'm using that, I put it on her post today. I said, I'm using this. You're in my message today. It was just another reminder. Here's why you complain, Jacob. My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. No, it's not. No, it's not. And then he asks the rhetorical question again. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives you strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired or weary. Young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Amazing, 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 amazing God. And then one more from Isaiah. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am He. If you're in that equation, you're part of it. You're part of his plan. You're part of the beginning. You're part of the end. You're part of his message. Your story, as long as you have breath, is not over. And this is a message, again, not only for us to receive for ourselves, but to tell. Because there's a lot of desperate, hurting people out there who think it's over. Who don't know how they're going to come out of their situation. Don't know how they can come back from mistakes. Don't know how they can come back from failures. But here's the hope we have. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and I look at that, this passage follows Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, where it goes through this litany of people who had walked in faith and didn't actually get to see some of the fulfillment of the promises God had, but so this follows chapter 11, but I always like to reference this as well to the great cloud of witnesses we have around us. The Keith and Margaret Kendalls, the Gary and Mary Ellen Sloans, the Ernie and Janet Kesslers, the Greg Langers, the Fran Schneiders, who have modeled for us, the Eloise Arkwrights and the Phil Slabaughs, just who model for us what it looks like to stay close to Jesus, to endure through struggle and challenge. But since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, both from the Word of God and in our everyday life, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Who is He? The author and the finisher of your faith. He began your faith. He will complete it. You didn't create your own faith. You just said yes to Him. But He initiated the question. And then Philippians 1:3-6, I thank my God every time I remember you. This is Paul praying for the Philippian church. And all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Familiar passage. So when you say, how can I come back from this? How can I get out of... Are there consequences to poor decisions? Yes. Yes, in David's situation, part of the consequence of his sin was the sword will continually be on your family. And it was. The sword will continually be on your family because of the despicable things you've done. But it did not erase the call that God had on David's life. So if He began a good work in you, and I know, again, most of you in this room, He has begun a good work in you, it is not over yet. And so if you face a trial or a hardship or a difficulty or a challenge or you make a mistake, again, I'm not condoning intentional, willful disobedience, but I'm also not saying that that's a deal breaker in God's kingdom. That's why we serve a God who is a God of grace. And won't in any way cheapen the grace of Jesus. He paid a powerful price. And I believe, as we've heard over and over again, the messages we hear over and over again is calling us to this more intimate walk, this deeper walk where we're listening and paying attention, where we don't have to fall. And Pastor Don used to say it around here all the time, you don't have to sin every day. And I still believe that. I still believe that. But when we do, again, not giving you a license, we have a God who is the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. And if you're in that equation, His plans will not be thwarted. You are not that powerful. I love these past two verses. The last verse I read in this next one, because Paul, in both cases, it starts out, says, I always thank God for you. I always thank God for you. And one of the reasons that speaks to me is because, and I said this last week in my message, when you find yourselves in the Scriptures, when we're living out in the context of the Scriptures in our daily life, they just come alive. They come alive in relevant everyday ways. And I found myself when I read these passages because I'm in no... I'm not on any level ever close to what Paul represented for the gospel, I'm not putting myself on any sort of a level with Paul. But I thank God, my God, every day for all of you, all. I tell people all the time how blessed I am as a pastor of a church, as a senior pastor of a church who has so many people who are chasing after Jesus, who love Jesus, who come alongside. We never have to beg for help for anything around here because we have so many willing participants. So when I was putting these up there, and I saw that. I can connect with that. I thank God for all of you. I always thank God, my God, for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God, thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Yeah, I can testify confidently because the testimony of God is in you. You live it out. You live it out in everyday actions. You live it out in your communities. You live it out in the way you reach out to lost and hurting people. You live it out in the way you minister throughout the week at all manner of venues. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you firm to the end. He will keep you firm to the end. He will keep you firm to the end. So that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can celebrate that. That when we serve the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, he will keep us firm to the end. The psalmist says it this way, the Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Do you see yourself as a work of his hands? I always like to think of it as a sculptor who has clay on a wheel, and the sculptor's using his hands to mold and shape whatever it is he's creating. That's what our lives are like when they're in the hands of the Alpha and the Omega. We always like to figure out, why am I in this fiery trial? Well, there's lots of reasons. Sometimes we're just stupid. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, sometimes it's just our own stupidity. But even our own stupidity does not stop the plans of God. Thankfully. I mean, my goodness, most of us wouldn't be sitting here today if it did. But sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's the devil. I don't like to give him a whole lot of attention, but he's real and we acknowledge that. But I don't worry about being chased by the devil or chasing him, or he's part of the equation, but he has nothing on the Alpha and the Omega. And sometimes we look at things as trials when it's just life, when it's just something we're going through in life, and we have to trust him. Sometimes it's nothing of our own doing. But he won't abandon the work of his hands. So do you see yourself today as the work of his hands? Because if you do, he's 100% trustworthy. He's 100% trustworthy, Eric. I know you know that. And I could go around this room. I'll just pick on Eric today. He's got strong shoulders. But he's 100% trustworthy. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I know those I have chosen. Do you see yourself as chosen? This isn't the playground pick in gym class when you got picked last. Pastor Don, another thing Pastor Don used to say is, I'm his favorite and so are you. if you're his chosen, then he's working out a plan in your life. Cooperate with him. You did not choose me, but I chose you and have appointed you to go and bear fruit. I've chosen you out of this world. That's why the world hates you. I'm convinced the world's going to hate us even more. We talked in open door class today about a couple of things. I'm always paying attention to what's going on. I was a media guy. I worked for most of my career in media, and so I pay attention to lots of stuff going on in the world in the news. And as some of you know, there was a thing yesterday called No King's Day, and some of you know Travis Blakeman made a post. On Facebook about this. He said, this is, how do you start? This is slightly political. this post is slightly political. It was like a little warning, I think. But he basically talked about passages of Scripture in Judges where it said, and for a period of time, there was no king, and they did whatever they wanted. We're living in a culture in a day where no one wants to be told what to do. No one wants to stand for, well, not no one, the body of Christ does, but a whole lot of people don't want to stand for righteousness. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. But in this culture, the voice of truth, our word for 2025, is speaking loudly and clearly, sometimes quietly, but firmly. And so in this culture, we get to shine. Not to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention to the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Because he is the king. He is the king. And there's a whole lot of people don't want anything to do with that king. That's not what the protest was about, but that doesn't matter. The message was loud and clear. We want no one telling us how we should live. And it's that kind of life that leads to chaos and disorder. And we see the consequences all around us. I was thinking about this. So when I was preparing the speaking schedule for October, said I haven't spoken 2 weeks in a row for probably all year. I don't even know if I've spoken twice, maybe at the beginning of the year when I unveiled the word. But I am so blessed. I am so blessed, and I've gotten very, very spoiled with our team of people that give messages, Pastor Ben, Pastor Shane, Pastor Mark, and soon to be Pastor Bobby. And so when I was working on the schedule, I kind of heard, you're going to take 2 weeks this month. And I was like, no, I'm not. And I was thinking about that when this message came up, that he knew then that this wasn't going to be part two of the journey beyond salvation, that he, and for whatever reason, it just struck me that he wants every one of us to know and serve and share all around us who we know as the Alpha and the Omega. It was such a direct deposit in me as I was praying about how do people come back from brokenness? How do people come back from mistakes? How do people come back? And my thought about it was, well, we don't have that many people that are going to be in this room. But he said, I want you to say it anyway. I want you to say it anyway. It's what I had in mind for October 19th. Is that today what today's date is? 18th. 2025 is for you to know the God that you're serving is the Alpha and the Omega, and he's sure about himself, and he wants you to have that same assurance. This voice of truth, it was just another reminder to me of how the voice of truth is just continually speaking to us if we're paying attention. And every part of me wanted to just say, yeah, let's just carry on last week's message because that was good. But he said, no, I want to. Gary Sloan said something in, I think it was Men of Valor, maybe this past week, not knowing that this was where my message was going, but he said, see the last chapter of the book. That's where this whole message comes from, the last chapter of the book. And here's what Revelation 21 says, and then we'll get to the next one. We're going to reiterate how I started, but he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And he's speaking of the end of the story. And he means it. It's truth. It's the voice of truth. So it wasn't lost on me that this message all has to do with the very first line that he says before he tells us he's the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. And then he makes the declaration. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the beginning and the end. If you're in this room today and you think you have failed God too many times, and that for somehow because of that, the plans he has for you has been thwarted, has been stopped short, has been interrupted. and there's no coming back from that. Or if you know someone in that situation, there's a reminder for you and for those people. That's not who our God is. Our God has not forgotten about you. He knows you intimately. He knows your coming and your going. He knows your victories and he knows your failures. And if that's you today and you need prayer, we have people who will pray with you. I'll pray with you. There's a whole lot of people who will pray with you. One of these stories I read this week that I talked about in Open Door class today was there are people, and sometimes these are kind of well-meaning followers of Jesus, I believe, who this particular article talked about, well, I don't know if revival is really going on. I don't know if I'd call this revival. This is what the writer said. I see it more as a religious revolution that's tied to politics. Now, the Alpha Omega knows what he's doing. And he's raising up a people. He's raising up a generation. Patty Wilms told me this morning, came over to me and said her grandson attended the youth retreat over the weekend. And he called her and she said, he didn't call me to tell me how excited he was about how much fun he had. He didn't call me to tell me about how much the food was great, which I'm sure it was, for those who made food. He said he called me to tell me that we had three times of ministry. And that was what he wanted to share with his grandma. The ministry took place, a teenage boy. There's a work going on. There's revival going on. Don't let anybody tell you there's not. It's because the Alpha and Omega is in charge. There's a whole demographic that will never acknowledge that. Well, that will eventually. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Whether they want to or not. We want to. Let's be a people who want to. Not only want to, but do. Because there are people who are listening, there are people who are watching, there are people who want to know, and your life gets to invite them. Let's stand. There's a song Connie and I used to sing called I Am. And I'm not gonna sing it. Nah, I don't think I can remember exactly how it goes, but it just said I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. We serve the I am. The end of the song ends with, because of the great I am. So because of the great I am, your story's not over. You need to share that with someone who thinks maybe it is. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for your faithfulness, your goodness, I thank you that the voice of truth is resounding in the earth today. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see what our part is. Father, give us submissive hearts to your will and to your way. Let us be like the hymn writer says, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. You're the potter, we're the clay. So mold me, shape me after your will. I pray that prayer for every one of us today, that we'll let you mold and shape us. That where we've fallen short, we'll repent. Pray your blessing on this body as we go out of here today. I pray we'll go out of here today equipped, living on mission. Whatever we'll do today, that we'll represent the voice of truth with integrity, with compassion, with kindness, with gentleness, but yet firmness, no doubt on who we are or who we stand for. Pray that if anybody needs your touch today, even as we close out, that there will be people who will gather, will come down and be gathered around by people who will just pour into them the love of Jesus. Let your name be lifted high. Let your name be lifted high. Pray this all in Jesus' name.